Christmas. In fact, I've entitled this, might sound like a cliche, but Jesus is the reason for the season. And you don't have to turn your Bibles there, they'll be on the screens, but I want to open a word of scripture in the book of Isaiah. I want a prophetic word in the Old Testament that foretold the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King, the coming of the Christ child, who would turn into a man and die on the cross and be raised from the dead. Isaiah 6, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 reads like this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Let's have a word of prayer this beautiful Christmas morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the presence that we feel here all together, Lord. Not just an emotional presence, God, not just because it's the holiday, Lord, but because we truly understand the reason for the season. We truly understand the true meaning of Christmas. Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us, my God, so much. Your gift you've given us is amazing, Lord. The gift of life, the gift of eternal life. And Lord, for that we're forever grateful. We thank you for families that are here today that have joined together with us. We thank you for this amazing service that has led us up to this place of your word. And I pray now for these next few moments that you would give me the grace and that you would anoint me, God, to speak, my God, with clarity and with understanding. My God, that we might come into this new year of 2017, my God, with a greater perspective about what you have for us and about how much you love us. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Once again, we want to welcome each and every one of you to Victory Outreach. If this is your very first service with us, we really want to thank you for being with us. And we hope that you'll come back. We hope you'll come back this coming week. Like Pastor Pat said, we do have Wednesday night services at 7 o'clock. We do have Friday night for our youth, and then, of course, Sunday morning, every Sunday morning at 10, except this coming week. We really want to be crazy and do something different, because we're going to party hardy on Saturday night, and we're going to be all dappered up, and it's going to be awesome. So we decided we'll have church on Saturday morning, and then Sunday morning, is there football on that Sunday morning? Man, I get to watch football on a Sunday morning. My God, I feel the anointing even stronger right now. Amen. We're usually at church, but football's on DVR when we're we got to record it. Amen. But this is a little story I want to tell before I get into this. It was a family that had twins whose their only resemblance to each other were their looks. They were opposite in every way. One was an eternal optimist and the other a doom and gloom pessimist. Just to see what would happen on Christmas Day, their father loaded up the pessimist room with every imaginable toy and game and gimmick he could put in there. The optimist room he loaded with horse manure. That night of Christmas Eve, the father passed by the pessimist room and found him sitting in his new gifts, crying bitterly. "Why are you crying?" his dad asked. "And because my friends are going to be jealous," he said. "I have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. I'll constantly need batteries. My toys will eventually get broken," answered the pessimist twin. Passing the optimist twin room, the father found him dancing for joy in a pile of manure. "What in the world are you so happy about?" he asked his son, to which the optimist twin replied, "There's got to be a pony in here somewhere." I don't know how you perceive Christmas. You may be a person that just goes with the flow and says, my God, what's the big deal about Christmas? You may be a person who says, come on, man, it's just Christmas. But I want you to know something right now. After I'm 57 years old, and for the past 57 years, I don't care what I was going through when I was at my lowest point in my life. When Christmas came, something happened. You could find me dancing around in the pile of manure. Amen. And life is good when we have a different perspective. And I don't know about you, but I want to enter this new year as an optimist and not a pessimist. Oh, my God, I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, I want to say, you know what, God is good, and whatever happens, you know, is going to be good for us. I want to talk to you real briefly about the reason for the season. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, we see there that there's a declaration. It says, a son has been given. God is prophesying through his prophet Isaiah that in the future, which he's talking about a long time, this prophecy was given way, way, way back before Jesus was ever born in a manger. And he says, there's a son given. You see, that son is what coincides with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Huh? He's a wonderful counselor, the prophet says. A mighty God. The kind of mighty God that can heal you. The kind of mighty God that can put a marriage back together. The kind of mighty God that can put a family that is ripped apart by addiction or by divorce or by distraught feelings and unforgiveness. God can put it back together and do things that are unimaginable in the normal mind. Listen, the supernatural that God has for you and I is so powerful when you tap into it. The Bible calls him an everlasting father. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. You see, there's so many people that are so worried about everything. You know, I read this once, that worry is nothing more than a false idol. Worry will not do anything for you. Worry, all worry will do is take you into the drain. Worry will do nothing but make life worse. But Jesus came to give you peace. He came to give you the kind of peace that surpasses all human understanding. Listen, I can't try to explain to you the type of peace that I have when I'm going through things, because you know what? It's just his peace. His peace rests upon us. The Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says he's our Savior. That means that he is the ultimate savior of everything. If you're looking for something to save you, listen, I want you to know something. Wells Fargo is not going to save you. Your job and your employer, no matter how big the company is not going to save you. Victory Outreach can't save you. I can't save you. Your husband can't save you, sister. Don't worship him. Listen, brother, your old lady can't save you, man. I'll tell you right now, she can't do nothing for you. God is the one. God is the one. He sent his only begotten son. Listen, every problem that you'll ever face in your life, he is going to be your savior through it. And the sooner you admit it, the sooner you acknowledge it, the sooner you walk in it, the more peace you're going to have. Huh? The Bible calls him, in a different version, in a different portion of Scripture, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior that doesn't look at your past and just ultimately judge you and execute you right there? Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I deserve death and execution. My sins were too many. But oh, on a cold Thanksgiving morning 30 years and just about a month ago, man, God came into my home and he found a family that was being ripped apart by the devil. The enemy had ripped our lives apart by all kinds of means. And that one day, what we're celebrating today, Christmas, was on a Thanksgiving morning for our lives. And I'll tell you why. Because that Savior showed up to my house just in time. And he didn't show up with judgment. He didn't show up with all this animosity because of all that I had done to turn away from him. He came with open arms, with the love that I'd never felt before. The kind of love that embraced me, that embraced my wife, that embraced my four beautiful, precious little daughters. And he scooped us up and saved us just in time before the devil had ripped us apart. That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the Jesus that we are celebrating here on this Christmas morning. You see, a Savior who would love us no matter what. A Savior that would put families back together. And I don't know where your family's at. Your family may be doing really good now, but I want you to remember back when your family was ripped apart, when your brother was out in the streets, when your sister was out in the streets, when your brother was doing time, or your mama or your daddy were so lost, and then God began to do the miracle. It was the miracle, the one we watch all these Christmas movies and we see all these beautiful stories. But what about your story? What about the story that God has given you? Listen, that could be a movie. That could be a book. Why? Because God came in just in time and rescued you. That's why these children can be here in church. That's why we can have our kids come and be here, and just there's such a joy for them. See, he's the Messiah. He's the one that was told in ancient days, the Christ, the anointed one. The one of the Old Testament who prophesied. I mean, think about what he did. See, he desires this morning, if you're here and you're broken, and you're here and say, that's good for you, it's good for all of you guys, but I'm in a pile of horse manure right now. My life is in shambles. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how I got here this morning. Thank God if it wasn't for this guy or this girl that brought me here, or if it wasn't for somebody just woke me up and said, get to church, I don't know where I'd be. But I want to tell you something right now. Your destiny was to be right here this morning in this service, because God wants to do something spectacular in your life. You just can't see it yet because you're not looking in the right place. Now, six prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Number one is he was born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5, the Old Testament foretells the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, that you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The second thing, the second prophecy that was given in the Old Testament that happened, that Jesus Christ fulfilled, is the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that he would be born of a virgin. Verse 3, I mean the third prophecy was that he would be born from the line of Abraham. According to Genesis 22 and 18, the prophecy of the Messiah being a descendant of Abraham is told right there in Genesis. And the fourth prophecy was that he was would be a descendant of Jacob. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. The fifth prophecy was that he would be called out of Egypt. The Old Testament foretells Jesus being called out of Egypt in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Remember when his flight to Egypt and he was called out? And then the last one, the very last prophecy that we find that he fulfilled of these six, is that he would be born among sorrow. Did you hear Pastor Pat earlier? That he was destined for a funeral. He was destined for the cross. Oh, we see the little baby in the manger, and we see all the beautiful pictures and all the movies, and we see this beautiful story of a baby being born in a manger, and a baby being, and you know, there's so much controversy about when it was, whether it was in April or August, or was it really in December, and really, does it really matter? I'm just glad that a Savior showed up, because if he wouldn't have showed up, I'd be in hell. I'd be gone. I would have no hope. And his sorrow, think about, Pastor Pat said, the myrrh that was given to him in the gift to prepare him for what? For the day that they'd bury him. For the day they'd put him in a tomb. He didn't even have a funeral. Somebody had to give him a place to be buried. The story of Jesus, his birth fulfills a prophecy in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because of her children are no more. This prophecy is repeated again in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, which says that King Herod sought to kill Jesus. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years and old and under, and accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. I don't remember in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, that I've walked into stores, walked into Starbucks, and heard people saying, Merry Christmas. Because that has been a thing that has been taboo everywhere. Companies have been instructed not to say it. I mean, I was getting so rebellious and stubborn that I was already, you know, last year I did this and I started doing this year again, but I don't have to do it anymore because they're saying it now. But I'd go in there and they'd say, yes, your name, sir, for the tea or coffee, Sister Barbara's coffee. To your name, I said, my name's Merry Christmas. Come on, sorry, my name's Merry Christmas. Write it down and call my name. That's where you get it at. Get it from your tots. Excited. But I there's a buzz. There's a buzz about Christmas. Everywhere I go, there's a buzz about Christmas. People are excited again about Christmas. Why? Not because of elections, not because of this or that. You know, let me tell you why people are excited about Christmas. Because believers are starting to share their faith in school. Believers are starting to share their faith at their jobs. Believers are saying, listen, Christmas is not about going to Macy's or Kohl's or to Nordstrom's Rack. Christmas is not about cookies and tamales and I don't think. Christmas is about a Savior who came and he died for us. He was not just born. He didn't just live. He was born a baby. He grew up. He grew up. And he became a man. And he was God in a man's body who knows everything you feel, every kind of pain you could ever imagine. He understands. See, he had to come that way. Jesus had to come in that way. Otherwise, you would not relate if he was just some image in the sky. He had to come that way so you could understand that he's acquainted with our hurts, that he understands when we've been let down. He understands the pain of being abused. He was abused. He understands the pain of being neglected and rejected because he was neglected and rejected. He understands everything you have ever been through. He understands the divorce. He understands the sickness. He understands the loss. He understands. The Bible says that he wept bitterly at his friend's Lazarus when he died. He understands loss. He understands that many of you here during the Christmas season, you're missing your loved one that maybe has went home to be with the Lord. He understands that. He knows exactly what you're going through. You see, there's not one thing that you can never say. You may say it, but you can never say it with true meaning. It says, God, nobody understands what I'm going through. Let me tell you why. Because God understands, and that's why he sent Jesus. I believe that God continues to move us to the places where we discover again who the person behind all these lights and luminarias and Christmas carols and chocolate no-bakes and tamales, and your wife's tamales are just glorious, Pastor Brene. Past all that, even the best thoughts of Christ in the Christmases we cling to are just ornaments reflecting the real thing. A child is born. A Savior has come. His love for us is real. His love for you is true and it is real. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. The Lord is not interested in your past sins. He's not interested in all the fails, all the horrific things that you think about, that you wonder about, that you're guilty about. We were recently in Germany, just a couple of weeks ago. The pastor's wife is, she's Jewish, and she's from Holland, but she's Jewish. She says the one thing that she never wanted to be is around Germany, because as a child, she was taught to hate the German people because of the Holocaust and all they did to the Jewish people. Hitler, Nazis. You never would want to go there. But God called her and her husband to go pastor in Germany. Like Jonah, who never wanted to go to Nineveh because the Ninevites were the sworn enemies of Israel. They were the sworn, they massacred Jonah's parents, grandparents. He hated them. But God said, go to them and preach. See, God understands exactly what we need to do, even if we don't like it. And this pastor's wife told myself, my sister Barbara, I had a hard time But I had to, God had to give me forgiveness for these people. Some of you here, you may have never been on drugs or alcohol, but your loved ones are, and you have a hard time with that. You have a hard time forgiving them. Listen, Jesus forgives everyone. He forgives all. Like little Tiny Tim says, He loves us all. He loves us all. And Cindy, this pastor's wife in Germany, told us that every single, pretty much every week, she hears somebody, when she finds out that she's Jewish, apologize to her. Even after all these years, the 1940s this happened. Here we are in 2016, and the German people are still trying to apologize for all the horrific things of the Holocaust. And my message is, it's been forgiven. The price has been paid on the cross. The blood has been shed, and your sins are no more for those who repent and those who commit to the Lord. But can you imagine that after all these years, they're still asking for forgiveness? I'm so sorry. Like, they feel so apologetic because they understand it was a horrific crime. But guess what? Guess what? You don't have to keep on apologizing. You don't have to keep on saying I'm sorry for something that has been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to close with this. I want to close by saying that no matter what your failures are, He's not interested in your past. He's interested in your future. Jesus has a future for you. You see, Christmas is about the coming of the Messiah, the birth of the Savior. But He didn't just come. He came to redeem your soul. He came to redeem humanity. He paid a price for you and I. He conquered death so we could live. That song we sung earlier, the anthem, He lives. A child is born to us. A Savior has come, and Christmas is real. His love for us is real. The price He paid is real. The ability to forgive your sins is real. He's interested in your future, your eternity. This morning, I pray and hope that today, Christmas service, would be the day that you recommit your life to the Lord. Or maybe for the very first time, you would acknowledge and say, you know, once and for all, I need a Savior in my life, because I know I can't do it on my own. What fresh commitment do you need to make before the end of 2016? You don't want to close this year without making a fresh commitment. And the Lord's been knocking on your door. Amen. With nobody moving around, I'm going to ask you for the next few moments, I want you to bow your heads with me here everywhere in this place. Nobody looking around as the music team makes their way. What does it take to make a fresh commitment to Christ? Simply surrender your life to Jesus. Yes, that Jesus that laid in a manger. Yes, that Jesus who grew up and waxed strong. But even more so, to that Jesus who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and soon will come back again. Even Jesus had to surrender the will of His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. What would it take this morning for you to give your heart to Christ? You know, I'll tell you what it would take. It would take the heart of one of these little children. The Bible says that we should come as little children to the Lord with just an honest and pure heart. From all over this place this morning, if for the very first time, God has given you a revelation that how much you need Him and that how much you need to recommit your life to Him, or maybe for the very first time, if that's you here today, say, Pastor, Christmas time, I've been giving gifts out. I've been giving gifts to people, been buying gifts for people. But this morning, I want you to know God has a gift for you. The greatest gift He could ever give us, and that is the gift of salvation. It may be free to give to us, but He paid a dear price for it on the cross. And that this morning, if you say, Pastor, as every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please, just give me a few moments. Nobody moving, nobody looking. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need that Savior in my life. Would you pray with me? Would you lead me in a prayer of commitment, a prayer of fresh commitment? Maybe recommitment this morning. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right there where you're at. Just lift it. Just from all over. God bless you. Amen. From all over this place. Just lift that hand. Don't be embarrassed. Just, you say, I need Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I see your hand right there. I see it. Anybody else? I see your hand right there. Anybody else? Come on. Just, you can put them down. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. God bless you. Let's give you a couple more seconds here. Anybody else says, Pastor, I need to make a recommitment to the Lord. I need to rededicate. I've lost an edge. I've kind of lost my way a little bit. You know, listen, you're not the only one. Don't feel embarrassed. You're not the only one. All of us at one time have lost our way, but thank God for a forgiving Savior that brings us back with no questions asked. If that's you here today, say, Pastor, that's me. Man, I need Christ. Lift your hand real quickly. God has something big for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing now. If you lifted your hand, I want you to stand your feet real quick. Just stand your feet. If you lifted your hand, just stand right there. Right there where you're at. Just stand. Amen. Just stand your feet. Come on, from all over this place. I'm going to ask you to do another thing. As they begin to sing this song, I'm going to ask you to step out of the aisle. I'm going to ask you to come and meet me right here at this front with these children. I'm going to ask you to do that right now, just to come quickly. Don't hesitate. And lastly, for those of you that say, Pastor, I'm doing really good, but I got some issues. There's some family problems that we're dealing with, or there's a situation, I've been sick, or whatever it is. Listen, I believe that God is much more than just gives us salvation, but He's a healer. He's a provider. He can give you the job you've been needing to provide for you in just a blink of an eye. But you got to trust Him. And it could be that today's the beginning day where you begin to trust Him. Begin to trust Him for your future. Begin to trust Him for what God has for you. And I want you from all over this place, if you have a need in your heart, today is Christmas Day, and Jesus has a gift for you. His love, not only His forgiveness, but He has a purpose for you. And God wants to fulfill His purpose in your life. I want to invite you to come to this altar and make a fresh commitment to Him and say, Lord, I need you. Come on, let's sing it together. Come on.
To worship you.
Softly, those of you that lifted your hand and you said, today I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, or I want to rededicate it, I want you to pray with me. I want you to repeat this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. This is the gift you're giving the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm giving you my heart, my soul. Let me tell you the gift He's giving you. He's giving you the gift of eternal life. I want you to repeat with me and say, Lord Jesus. Come on, I want you to say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, on Christmas Day, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Thank you for coming into my life. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And give me a brand new start. I believe you were born of a virgin, that you died on the cross. that you rose from the dead, and that one day you are coming back, and I'm going to be ready because of this decision. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation. Thank you. I declare you my Savior. Amen. 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 Father, we love you this morning, Father. Father, we thank you, God, for all of those this morning who are giving their hearts to you in the name of Jesus. Now, all of you, I'm going to close with this. Anybody else that says, you know, Pastor, I'm saved, but our family is going through some things. God has to do a miracle for us. I want to pray for that miracle right now. Can I pray for that miracle? I want you right there where you're at. I want you, if you have your family next to you, I just want you to grab them right there where they're if they're next to you. If not, just lift your hands. Father, I pray, God, this morning on Christmas service, Christmas Day, that, Lord, the miracle that these families are looking for. First of all, we know how much you love us, God. We know how much you love our families. I pray, God, that the miracles that are needed, Father, the physical miracles, my God, the supernatural miracles, Father, the anointing, Father, that you have, my God, that is here this morning. I know, God, that you are able to heal, to not only forgive, but to turn things around, oh, Father. I pray for the spirit of forgiveness, Lord, that, Lord God, that families in this place this morning, there would be such healing this morning, God, such healing this coming end of the year, to come into 2070 with a brand new start, Father. I pray that the power of Almighty God would begin to fall upon your people here this morning. I pray, God, that as we leave this place, God, that as we go to our prospective families and places, God, that, Lord, people would sense that something's different about us, God, that the anointing of God would permeate through us, God, and, Father, the love of God would permeate. The love of God, my God, would be transferred, my God, from our hearts to our families' hearts. And, Lord, a miracle, Father, for those that need a